Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. What is up, crew? Welcome back to the Cryptoconomy Podcast. I have got a fun one today. Couple weeks ago, at some point, we read, I think it was on the Blockstream blog. I'll actually link to it in the show notes. But a detailed explanation of Neutrino, and it's something that I'm really excited about. I think it's a huge benefit for light clients, and I actually think it could be a benefit for full nodes and full clients. But it's always good to read an alternative perspective. And this isn't really a full-on argument against Neutrino. It's just talking about the realistic trade-offs and a more pragmatic approach to its benefits and drawbacks. This one is a Medium article, so it's posted on Medium.com, and it is by Nicolas Dorier, which his name is spelled Nicolas Dorier. And that is his tag, is just his name. And I will link to that and tag him in this post. And be sure to share this out and drop some applause on this article and thank Nicolas for letting me read this one on the show and dig into it. And in fact, I'm considering reading both of his pieces, because he's actually got a follow-up to this one titled Neutrino is Dangerous for My Self-Sovereignty. But the one we are reading today is Why I Don't Celebrate Neutrino, obviously by Nicolas Dorier as well. Be sure to check those out on Medium. And without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into this piece. Again, it is titled Why I Don't Celebrate Neutrino. Why I Don't Celebrate Neutrino, or Why It Is Celebrated for the Wrong Reason. Introduction. Neutrino's goal is to have a simple way for light Bitcoin clients to synchronize the state of their wallet without leaking your wallet information. The downside is that Bitcoin rules are not validated. It is a similar goal to BIP-37, but in a way more pragmatic, efficient, and privacy-preserving way. And it is also way more easy to build a wallet on it. Neutrino makes BIP-37 obsolete, and we should rejoice about that. BIP-37 was fundamentally broken and needs to become just an archaeological curiosity. I look forward to the PR which removes BIP-37 from the Bitcoin core code. Neutrino is well specified in BIP-157 and BIP-158, and has been already integrated in Bitcoin by Lucas Ontivero and Nopara73 because they needed it for Wasabi Wallet. In general, I have been pretty silent about Neutrino. One of the reasons is that I'm not deep enough or interested into computer science to judge the design decisions. Bitcoin developers have enough world-class computer science experts to make me completely useless to the discussion. What I am sure, Neutrino is way better than BIP-37 by improving privacy and is making it way easier to build light wallets. However, the problem is it can be used in a way which fundamentally weakens Bitcoin in the long run while giving short-term advantages for its user. In short, like Lawrence MT says, quote, the path of least resistance in user experience terms, which ultimately gives miners more leverage. Did everybody forget what happened 1.5 years ago with B2X? Excerpt. Neutrino is currently in active development and is expected to fully hit mainnet this year. Currently, users have to run a full node in order to operate a Lightning wallet. Neutrino is currently available in LND and Lightning Apps Alpha. Highlighted. Once it's merged into Bitcoin Core, mobile LN wallets will be able to offer extremely straightforward user experience as sync times drop to minutes, and users won't have to run full nodes to use Lightning. End excerpt. Tweet by Laurent MT. I must be stupid. I fail to see how LN users getting rid of their full nodes is an improvement for Bitcoin. Lightning won't thrive without a strong layer one. End tweet. Hooray! I am not alone. Neutrino. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So if you are using a Neutrino-based Lite wallet on your phone, then it means that your phone is not validating the consensus rules of Bitcoin. So if your wallet receives a filter for block X, how do you determine if this filter is not malicious? 1. Trust a random third-party node to not lie. 2. Ask to several third-party nodes, except if a threshold is passed. For example, if 3 nodes agree that the filter is the same, accept it. 3. Trust the miner. Not possible right now. And 4. Trust your own node. I think that 2 and 4 are both legitimate. I would advise 4, but I think the odds of Sybil attack by 2 are low enough. This assertion is completely subjective. I think there is no problem in there. For choice 3, there has been a proposal to commit to the filter in the block as part of the consensus rules. This will require a soft fork, to which I will oppose for the reason I will detail next. But before evaluating if the filter is correct, how do you know if block X is correct? 1. Trust a random third-party node to not lie. 2. Ask to several third-party nodes. Accept it if a threshold is passed. For example, if 3 nodes agree the block exists, accept it. 3. Trust the most proof-of-work block. Or 4. Trust your own node. My point is that by far, the most systemic risk to Bitcoin is number 3. Electrum Wallet, for example, is using 1 and allows 4, which is, to my mind, the best for a Lite wallet. Bad. Trust a random third-party node to not lie. Pros. It's very easy to implement. Unpredictability on how users will behave if miners fork. Cons. You can receive fake confirmation of payment. And Neutrino is almost useless for this. More details below. Bad. Ask to several third-party nodes, accept the block if a threshold is passed. Pros. Make the choice one attack harder to carry out. And unpredictability of what happens if miners fork. Cons. Harder to implement. You can still receive fake confirmation of payment. The attack is harder to carry out than connecting to a single node. Neutrino is almost useless for this. More details below. Ugly. Trust the most proof-of-work block. Pros. Very easy to implement. Protects against fake payments in the case of a targeted attack. Cons. If all users use this, miners can change the consensus rules with little resistance. As a thought experiment, if 100% of the users are running this scheme, it is obvious that the miner gets lots of leverage and can change consensus rules at a whim. Of course, it is not realistic to think that 100% of users will trust proof of work, but then it is just a matter of degree. While I can't use cardinal numbers to properly quantify this, and nobody can, you can still assert, all other things being equal, 11 users following most proof of work gives more leverage to miners than 10 using it. You can't assert the same thing with solutions connecting to random third-party nodes. There has been discussions about a commit to the filter as part of the consensus rule. I will oppose to this because it encourages users to trust miners, which seems safe on the surface in the short term, but buries the risks in the long run. Do not depend on the next generation to save the day with Samson's hats the next time the shit hits the fan. Good. Trust your own node. Pros. Easy to implement. Full verification of the consensus rules. No fake payments are possible. Does not give any leverage to miners. Cons. Hard to deploy. Shameless plug, except if you use BTC Pay Server. And Neutrino is almost useless for this. More details below. Neutrino is almost useless for this. Now, out of those four different ways to decide whether a block is valid or not, the only way it is useful is in the ugly case of trusting miners, which is dangerous in the long run for Bitcoin. Let me explain. While it is technically possible to validate consensus rules on a phone, this is not practical. It costs lots of bandwidth and battery. Phones are not adapted for this kind of usage. This means that you will need to run a full node on some separate server and connect your Lite wallet to it. Then you can connect to your own node and use Neutrino to sync up the state of your wallet on the phone. But why would you do this? If you trust a server, you can just ask for the state of your wallet to it directly, like Electrum is already doing. Downloading the filters Neutrino style and updating the wallet is still consuming bandwidth and has a bad user experience. You need to wait that your wallet will synchronize every time you start it. You don't have such problems if you just have a trusted server handling the wallet state for you. The reason why I consider Neutrino to be almost and not completely useless in this case is that it removes the need for any middleware other than a Bitcoin full node to operate, and that you don't need a full transaction index, which is resource-consuming for servers. The server side does not need a special vendor-specific API like exposed by LND, C-Lightning, or Lightning Charge. By making a wallet understand Neutrino, and if BIP 157 and 158 become part of Bitcoin Core, it behaves like a standard. Your wallet does not depend on anything else than a Bitcoin full node, which I think is actually cool. There is also, I admit, a privacy component to it. A client does not leak its UTXO to a random server as done in the Electrum case. But if you are using a Lightning Network wallet, your transactions still stay private. Conclusion. I don't hate Neutrino, despite having said Neutrino makes me crazy. But the reason why I like Neutrino is very different from the reason most Bitcoiners think. Neutrino is useless if all you want is a Lightning node working on a mobile. We already have this. What we don't have is a wallet which just connects to some random server the way Electrum is doing. But this is very easy to do, does not require Bitcoin peer-to-peer changes, and is way more user-friendly and bandwidth-saving than Neutrino. No need of downloading the filters. Neutrino is only cool to wallet developers who do not want to deal with different APIs for querying the state of their Lightning node. But please, if you decide to use it in your wallet and allow users to connect to random nodes on the network, don't use the highest proof of work to validate whether a block is valid or not. Better to use a threshold mechanism. Three of your four peers agree that a block is valid, so it is valid. Yes, it makes you weak to Sybil attacks, and if you are scared of it, please use a full node. Such Sybil attacks, in order to be profitable, need to be targeted, which will never happen to the majority of people. And you should probably not store so much money in your mobile wallet if you are scared about losing it. Use a proper hardware wallet. If a fork happens where miners disagree with the Bitcoin chain, the wallet of the user will switch back and forth between the two chains and get into some kind of undefined and broken state. This forces them, at this point, to take a conscious decision about what to do, instead of enrolling them by default to whatever the miners want. By doing so, you've removed the incentive for miners to behave against the interest of users, because even users who do not even know or care that the miners go against their interest, or who don't give a shit about self-sovereignty, they will need to take a conscious step to fix the undefined state of their wallet. 20 years down the road, Samson's hats won't be here to save the day against B3X, so make the right decision early. All right, and that was Why I Don't Celebrate Neutrino by Nicola Doria. So, and we'll find out in his follow-up article that he kind of expands and changes his argument a little bit, mostly by like defining what he means by certain wallets a lot more clearly in the second article. And he actually backtracks, realizing that he'd sort of made a mistake on the fact that he thought Neutrino was better for middleware, like kind of like the Electrum server is. But outside of that, he's got really good points here. That I don't think this specific article got a lot of pushback. There was a lot of hate on Twitter after he posted this because there was a ton of excitement about Neutrino because of its privacy benefits, and being able to have it in a light wallet that seems to have a lower degree of trust with your peers and the rest of the network in general. Specifically regarding privacy. And I myself was really excited about it. So when I saw a bunch of pushback on this article, and I knew Nicholas Doria, I know of him, and I've never known him to be anything but very reasonable. So I felt like this was a really good one and probably important one to hit. Anytime something drums up a lot of contention in the community, always makes me wonder, is it just utterly absurd? Or is there something, is there a real argument there that kind of makes us, kind of kills the excitement a little bit? So that's why I dig into those specifically. A lot of times they are just trolls, but this I think has a really, really good argument for why Neutrino is really just a slightly better SPV wallet. One that necessarily just does not leak, no longer must leak the wallets and addresses of your keys, like what is under your control. However, he does talk about how this is a slightly better light wallet setup or SPV wallet setup, but that if we were all using Neutrino, that it would be handing massive amounts of leverage to miners, which is true. If we were all using SPV wallets, then the network has no way to reject invalid blocks from a miner. If we're only accepting the proof of work, then the miner decides which set of consensus rules they put their proof of work on, and that's it. Everybody's just subject to whatever they decide. Whereas in a network of full nodes, they simply reject anybody who does not follow the consensus rules, and it doesn't matter if it's 90% of the hash power. They cannot spend their Bitcoin. They cannot trade their Bitcoin. They can't do anything. They have no economic reward from the network and the market for doing work that is not within the consensus rules. So there's a huge, huge trade-off between everyone running a full node versus everyone running like an SPV node, all just running light clients where they are only validating their own addresses and the fact that they are in a block, not any of the actual consensus rules that make up that block. So he's absolutely right. There's a massive trade-off there. And I never even thought Neutrino was a benefit in the sense that, like, if it was an excuse to trade off running a full node for just running an SPV node with Neutrino enabled, then absolutely, I'm fully on board. Like, he's 100% right. That's a terrible, terrible idea. However, the full node experience, I think it's less about running a full node constantly, but about making it quick and safe to spin up a new full node and make use of it. That's something that I think is really, I do think is important. And I think he kind of glosses over, really does not address at all, is that syncing a new full node takes a day. Like, it's still a very, very long process, and it requires a lot of computational work. But if that node can, in the meantime, imagine I can start syncing a full node and link my Lightning wallet to it, or whatever wallet I'm using, any light wallet, an SPV wallet, to that node, and then that node retrieves or my Lightning wallet, whatever, but they begin to retrieve relevant addresses and blocks from the network with regarding whatever keys or anything that I have, and is immediately, only after, whatever 23 megabytes of filters, whatever it is, being downloaded and confirmed or checked against, with Neutrino that your wallet is immediately usable, and it behaves temporarily like an SPV wallet, but does not give up your privacy, all while the full node in the background is doing a full sync, so that if you do not have a full node, starting one up is not this giant annoying barrier where you start the thing up and it's like, give it a couple of days and come back and check on me and we'll see if this is going right. You can just have like a tag at the bottom that says currently running at light client or a syncing thing, but everything is already usable because, you know, a higher level, like maybe it could be done with colors. You know, you have like yellow, orange, or red, yellow, and green or something as your quote-unquote threat levels. And right when you boot it up, it's red, and it says syncing filters. And then right after that, you shift to yellow, and then it still gives you the syncing, the full blockchain bar, but now everything is immediately usable. Only when it's red does it say, give it a second, we're confirming that, you know, you own your coins and which addresses and blah, blah, blah. But I think making the full node experience, the experience of a full wallet and fully validating node easy and the time to use as short as humanly possible, that we can benefit from Neutrino a lot with that as a tool at our disposal. And that's where I think, that's the only thing that I think that he doesn't address, because the almost universally the conversation is a either or. Either I'm running an SPV node with a Neutrino and Neutrino is just the greatest thing ever, or I'm running a full node and that it's a trade-off between those two things. Yet I see Neutrino as a tool to make running a full node much more user-friendly. And I find it interesting that he talks about, because this is actually technically true, is that like there's actually nothing more user-friendly about Neutrino versus other light node or a light wallet alternatives. In fact, like the normal SPV, the way the filters work now is that you request out, there's a whole lot less data involved. Like with Neutrino, you have to sync all of the filters for the entire blockchain, which again might be 20, 30 megs. Who knows exactly how big it is? I haven't specifically looked. I know it's a very small number, but it is still a number that needs to be synced and validated, at least for checking whether or not your addresses are relevant to the filter. But with normal SPV, you just send a filter out to the nodes. They grab all the specific addresses, and then you're just getting the addresses and keys that are specifically related to you. So it's a whole lot less data, and it's a lot faster to getting exactly the data that you're looking for. Whereas Neutrino is going to download the entire block that's related and then find the resulting transaction, the one that's relevant to your wallet. Whereas obviously in the other SPV case, all you do is they just send you the transaction and you can confirm that it's in a block with the filter. But that's it. So that's way less data and a much faster response time. So I think he's right to kind of give a little bit of pushback, particularly with how much, I think the excitement was a little bit overblown, myself included, with how excited I was about Neutrino, except for the fact that I still think the major, where I think it could be most beneficial, is in making the full node experience much more user-friendly. And I would like to see it go in that direction rather than depending on Neutrino as a way to just implement SPV everywhere and then think we've, you know, accomplished something or have much better security and sovereignty, which I don't think is the case. You have better privacy, and that's about it. And you don't even necessarily get a better user experience. It's still a much better user experience to use a centralized alternative or one where you're only grabbing the information that is immediately pertinent to you and your keys. So, again, I thought this was a really good read that was a relatively quick one that kind of gives that alternative view of really breaking down what Neutrino is and what it is not. And I still want to hit, I think I want to hit his next article, or the follow-up to this article, which is titled Neutrino is Dangerous for My Self-Sovereignty, in which he kind of details out a little bit better, and it will continue on this topic of the different types of wallets. What is an SPV wallet exactly, at least in the context of his argument? And then he also has like Explorer wallets that he refers to, light wallets, custodial wallets, and then a full wallet. And he breaks down exactly the differences between those two things, or those two things, like those four or five different types of wallets. And he also breaks down their trade-offs more specifically and backtracks on one of the things that he actually thought was a benefit of Neutrino. But we will get into all of that tomorrow with his next article. And again, this is Nicola Doria. And he is, it's spelled N-I-C-O-L-A-S, so it's Nicholas Dorier, which I pronounced it that way since forever, but I know that's not how you actually pronounce it. And I will drop his tag, and I will link to this article. You know what, I'll link to both of the articles in today's and tomorrow's episode, so that if you want to go check it out and get a head start on tomorrow, you can. And of course, do not forget to drop some major applause on this article and thank Nicola for letting me read this on the show and go into this topic, because this is something that I find really, really interesting, and I think it's an important discussion. So with that, do not forget to subscribe. You can find me on Twitter at The Crypto Economy. And of course, this is The Crypto Economy Podcast. You can subscribe on any of the major podcasting platforms. They are all, I'm on like 12 at this point. But if you appreciate what I'm doing and you enjoy the show, you can do two things to help support what I'm doing here. First is on cryptoeconomy.life in the sidebar, I've got a tippin.me lightning tip jar. And I also have a Bitcoin QR code that goes to my Casa wallet. And if you could donate anything at all, 10 Satoshis, 100 Satoshis, whatever it is that, you know, like you feel you could give to help keep this thing alive, that would be absolutely wonderful. I want to say thank you to all the guys and gals out at the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency meetups in my area. Jared, Steve, Tim, Wendy, like all these, everybody that I have met, like all you guys have been incredibly great. And they went around and gathered a bunch of donations together and presented it to me last night at the meetup. And I cannot thank you guys enough. That's so awesome to know that this means that much to you guys and that y'all contribute to this. It's just really, really awesome. And Thank you so much. It is massively appreciated. But for anybody else listening out there who thinks they're getting value from this show and want to help keep this thing running, you can always donate at cryptoeconomy.life, where I've got a couple of different options available. And of course, just sharing this out, just sending it to somebody else in the crypto economy space, in the Bitcoin space, gets me a little bit from the sponsor that I have on this show right now, and it is very much appreciated. So thank you all for helping to support this show, and I will catch you all back here tomorrow with another episode of the Crypto Economy Podcast. Until then, take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.